questions.
Everyone seen the movie?
Yes.
Good,
good, good. Thank you. Yes, sorry. Hi, James. Hi.
Nice to meet you, James.
And you?
Thanks for meeting with us today.
Pleasure.
So, who is the most difficult puppet to work with?
I'll let you guess who the most difficult puppet to work with. None of them. They're all a total joy to work with. I'm a huge. I grew up watching the Muppets as a kid, so working them for me is like working with my heroes. So
yeah,
I can't be.
Constantine, you know.
Yeah, he has his moments, but still, you know, Constantine really at heart is not a. Well, not, he's not all bad, Constantine. You know that guy. No, every day I go to work and I'm so pleased just to be there. So it's very hard for me to get cross with them because they're so like they're so. You know, like working with Luke Skywalker, it's crazy. Like, Lidka Hub is like my hero growing up, so meeting him and getting to work with him and even write lines for him is just amazing, so, you know.
That could be the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
The
there you go. It's like it's a mashup of exactly. Star Wars and Muppets, exactly. Yeah, no, true. Yes, in the background.
So while directing, do you lose yourself in, you're only talking to the Muppets, you're not talking to them?
Not really, no, because when I'm directing, the stages are raised up like 4 foot up in the air, and usually there's a kind of hole in the ground in front of me in which stand, say, 20 or 30 puppeteers, and all the characters are held up. And in between takes, they tend to come down, because the puppets often are very heavy. Like, Kermit is a sock, so easy for Steve, but Piggy is like a, you know, she's a pretty heavy puppet, so Eric's arm just kind of wears out through time. So he can't hold up the entire time, so in between takes, they come down, and at that point, I come in and say my stuff. But sometimes, for example, like, Stan and Waldorf, they're often in the box, and I can't see Dave and Steve underneath, so I have to then at some point go, can you just do that? And to Stan and Waldorf as well, so that's like, really, it's them. So, generally to the puppeteers, occasionally to the puppets themselves. But I do think, though, what's funny about that is that in my mind, I know Steve Whitmire, who plays Kermit, but I also know Kermit. He's a different person. And that is how good Steve is at doing Kermit. Like, he really, you know, when I'm in my off moments, I just think, on what Kermit's doing. Like, I just know him very well. Like, he's someone I know. You know, he's like, you're on my phone somewhere. He really feels that real to me.
If you text message.
Yeah, exactly. From Kermit.
You
yeah, exactly.
You're tonight.
Yes, sorry.
So, was the big difference between shooting the first movie and then the sequel?
For me, obviously, it was the slightly. The first movie, I'd never worked with puppets before, so it was a very big exponential learning curve of how to frame shots, how to make this world feel realistic. That these puppets were alive, breathing people who interacted with humans, and the world we live in, the recognizable world we live in, happened to have puppets in it. That idea I love, and that's a very important part of it. And that was quite the training of the first one, just getting, you know, getting to that level for me was an achievement. I can make a movie that worked on that level. And so for this one, I just wanted to push that a bit further, because the last movie is kind of set in the theater for a lot of the final act, and the last, you know, most of it was in, and so this time I thought, well, we should just get out and about a bit more and just do some slightly more adventurous, bigger stuff, and obviously the fact that the movie's kind of a caper movie with some criminal stuff in it, it feels like you can do bigger action sequences, and obviously you never want to put the words puppet and action sequences in the same sentence as a director, because that is very hard, but I like the idea of trying difficult stuff. It's ambition about the movie I really like about it. It feels like a very different film to me. In a way, I love both movies equally, but this film I feel like has slightly more ambition, which I love about it. And I think that's when you're doing a sequel, there's all sorts of things you have to deal with. One of them is you want to try and make a different movie. You don't want to make the same movie twice, and that's very important. Yes?
When writing The Muppets, did you take any inspiration from your Funny Show play at the Con Forest? And then do you think that adult humor and children's humor?
Good questions. Adult humour, and I'll do them in reverse order. Adult humour and child humour, yeah, can be different. They can be the same. I mean, we're all big kids, really. I am, I know for sure. And so often I find things like things falling over, I find it funny forever. Like, Tom and Jerry makes me laugh as much as my kids make a laugh, and that's always going to be the way. But sometimes it's useful to have a thing that works on two levels, that they like it for a reason and we like it for a different reason. And often that's because we're putting clever words into the mouths of puppets, and so they see a blue thing with a funny nose and like hair, which is funny, but we hear them saying smart words, and I love that idea that works for both adults and children. And sorry, the first question I've forgotten now.
Did you take any inspiration
from Concourse? Yeah, of course. I think whenever you make anything, you can't help but put an imprint of yourself on it to a degree. So when you do like a show like Concourse and move on to the Muppets, you can't help but bring a bit of that, your personality with you. Especially when you have half of the Concourse working on the movie with you, of course, because Brett writes the songs. So Brett and I have worked together for like a good, you know, 10 years now. And so be it set on the streets of New York in Concourse or set on the streets of London in Muppets, there's a similar flexibility in many ways. And in many ways, the Concourse and Muppets aren't that different. They're both quite innocent. I don't know. Concourse is a quite accessible, innocent show. They're very kind of likeable, innocent people. And the Muppets are also very innocent, likeable people. So it didn't feel like a huge leap going from Concourse to Muppets. So. Yes? Hi.
Hi.
This film had obviously a very international thing. Is there any thought ever to stopping in Sweden for the Swedish
chef? No, because then you tell he's not Swedish.
Yeah.
Why he speaks not Swedish, it's a weird amalgam of Jim's kind of rubbishy Swedish, like made up Swedish. So obviously you had him talking real Swedish and then someone actually speaking real Swedish at him, you'll go, hang on a minute, that's not the same thing. So no, we were very quick here to avoid Sweden. But no, the locations were largely chosen because I'm a fan of those kind of old-style caper movies. And there was like places like Monte Carlo and Berlin and Madrid. It's a very international feel. And so those places felt to me like of interest. And, you know, I like the idea of Muppets going global. That to me is interesting. And it's not just about the US and the UK, but they have a global interest. So that's really a fun thing for me. Yeah, any more? Yes?
What did you actually do
internationally? A lot. I mean, the principal photography, which was 95% of the film, was in London. We shot on stages at Pinewood, which is just about half an hour outside London. And then even places like Berlin and Madrid are also shot in or around London. Because going to Berlin with the entire Muppet cast and crew would have been a very expensive, difficult way of doing it. And London is, as you know, a very ancient historical city that therefore has lots of different architectural styles in it. So you can kind of get a rough idea, this looks a bit like Madrid, this looks a bit like Berlin, and certainly enough with, you know, added set dressing and stuff, you can really feel like you're there. And so most of the movie was shot in London, in and around London, which is kind of nice because the Muppet Show back in the 70s was made in London, and not many people know that. You know what I mean? It feels like a thing that it felt like very much like a homecoming for the Muppets because of the Muppet Show being from London. These guys felt like they're coming back, and we actually ended up hiring a lady called Louise Gold, who is the only female puppeteer, and who back in the 70s worked on the Muppet Show and is still puppeteering. But and being back in London now, I could hire her again. Do the characters that she did in the show in the 70s. So she reappears in this movie as Annie Sue Pig, which Muppet fans and amongst you will know as Miss Piggy's great rival from series 4 and 5 Muppet Show, who has this kind of blonde afro. And she's back in the movie because Louise Gold was available, and that's a really fun thing. Any more? Yes?
Do you approach celebrities to do cameos, or do they come to you and say, I want to appear in the movie?
Generally, we write them in with a very specific idea in mind, and we have a person or a type of person in mind. Often it's the actual person we write in, like, you know, the usher, that can be paid by usher. That's that joke, you know. But sometimes there are roles which are just like a guy who's delivering something, or a waiter or something, whereby it couldn't really be anybody. And then we start finding out just subtly, you know, Muppet fans, and people who we know and we hear about who like the Muppets. And then, for example, Christoph Waltz, we heard liked the Muppets, and I thought, well, if he was on the Muppet Show today, obviously what you do with him, his name is Waltz, you are going to do a waltz with him somewhere, and so that came about that way. So it's kind of, it's mostly us writing people in, but sometimes we hear about people who want to be on the show too.
What was the inspiration for Josh Groban and Bach?
Josh Groban in the Box is because I love the idea that he has a very identifiable voice, and so I thought it'd be funny if you thought, voices are very familiar. Who is that? It can't be Josh Groban. No way it's going to be Josh Groban. Then again, see him again and again and again. And at the end, it is Josh Groban. And I thought that would be funny. It's a funny reveal at the end that he comes out of the box. And, you know, Josh Groban's a very innocent guy. He's the last guy who's played in such a tough play. So I thought it was a funny idea. But he was great. And he really sings very well. The final number is called Together Again, Again. And he, of all the people who've had to sing that song, all the cameos sang that song, he really was just the as you would expect, just the most incredible rendition of it. It was really fantastic. And that was a very cold day at a disused air base in London, but we're nice to hear that.
On the last one, you were just the director. On this one, you're the writer and director.
Yes, two hats.
How did that transition?
It's fine. What you find about it, though, is often your writing brain's writing checks, your directing brain can't cash. And in the sense that often as a writer, you have, like, the sky's the limit, you can do anything. And you really want to try and, you know, be as ambitious as you possibly can. And then your directing head's going, wait a minute, this is going to be really difficult and take a lot of time and be very expensive. So you have to be, you know, but generally the writing head always wins because you want to try and make the film as best as you possibly can. But at the same time, for me, it feels slightly more of a personal one because obviously you can't help but be, you know, when you write, it's really you. And so for me, this felt slightly more, it's more of a comedy, so it felt more personal to me because it's more of a comedy. But to be fair, on the last one, as a director, you also often help out with just bits of writing here and there. So I did a bit of writing on the last one too. It wasn't a completely new experience, and I also have been writing for a long time. So my first go was my first movie. It was something I'd been working on for a while, and I knew Nick really well, and he's like a good friend outside of work. He's just my friend, And so I knew working with him would be, you know, that's one of the most important things about writing partnerships, is having a friendship, because, you know, it's like your friends, you just get on, you laugh together, we just write stuff down, and that's the movie. And that really helped a lot. But yeah, no, it does make it slightly more personal this time, but it was kind of, it always feels when you're directing something, you're kind of overall in charge anyway, so it feels personal, whatever, but if you write it, it adds the extra depth to it, I guess. Any more? Yes, sorry, you go.
What would you say is the toughest scene that you have to film?
Every scene's pretty difficult. The Muppets is not an easy thing to shoot because it's that thing about illusions trying to create. The hardest stuff usually is when you have to go full body, as I say, which is basically you have a whole body puppet. Most of the time they're half body like this in the bottom frame. But whenever you see their legs, it's a little bumpy. You've got to make it feel very natural and organic so you don't go, whoa, what's that weird, why is Sam's leg so weird? You know, he's got crazy little thin, tiny legs. Kermit's got these crazy long legs. It's just very weird. So I try and avoid that, but sometimes you can't. And sometimes, particularly like in action sequences, like you can't do an action sequence in half body pop. It's impossible. You're going to see his legs. And so when you try and do an action sequence involving multiple Muppets, and you know I'm heading with this, is the scene where the helicopter goes away and they build a ladder and they grab it.
Yep.
That is a very difficult. That's a very difficult. That's a very difficult thing to shoot because, you know, you've got to work out a way of keeping that thing alive and how it's going to look real, and then they're going to redo this. And that was a very complex thing to shoot. And that whole sequence at the end on the roof of the thing escaping took a good two and a half weeks. It's a long time for us. Yeah,
the
normally.
Scene, the scene where Constantine was dancing on the rail or whatever, was that difficult?
That's also difficult.
Whole body, like,
yes,
yeah.
That's whole body, and again, that generally is a situation where you have guys. Sometimes they're just against blue in blue. Those guys were in blue on the set, and you remove them later on. So that Constantine puppet is being removed, manipulated by, I think, six guys. So they're all in there, kind of doing this, this, or this, or this. And so that's my rule of thumb: is always there has to be puppeteering involved. I never want to do a full animated Muppet because it feels wrong to me. The whole point of this film is that you can come to set and meet a Muppet, and you can hug. You know, my daughter comes to set and hugs Kermit. I love that idea. You know? It's really, really sweet. But you can't do that if you're CG. And I feel that's important about Muppets. They're the last kind of bastion of puppeteering and this kind of tactile entertainment. So I think it's really important that we keep it that way. So generally, when I'm filming, we always, always have a puppeteer operating a puppet. Even if it's like a big blue screen moment, it's going to be always a guy doing it somewhere. But yeah, that was the thing where we're on the set and Matt is doing Constantine, but we have five or six helpers doing each limb, basically.
Yeah.
So it gets really complicated. But, you know, it takes a while, but it's always, when you get it, you know it, and it just feels natural and organic and real, and that's really fun.
Yeah, favorite scene?
Wow, that's a good question. What do I like? I really like Piggy's song about Constantine and Kermit, that thing is Something So Right song with Celine, because I really felt that's in a, because it's like Piggy's wanted this thing all of her life and she's finally got it and it doesn't feel the way she thought it would feel, right? I think that's a very common thing to all of us, that's something we've all experienced, and so to sing about that and say why aren't I feeling the way I would and why aren't I happier than I am about getting married is really sweet, I think. But also at the same time it's kind of funny because it's got Celine Dion in it and it's like this weird projection of the beach with their weird kids and the pink frog and the green pig and that sort of stuff, it's just really fun. So all my favourite scenes tend to have an element of humour to them and an element of emotion. They're both kind of working at the same time. And that's pretty much my aim for the whole movie, is to feel emotionally engaged but be laughing at the same time. And it's a very difficult path to tread, but that sequence I feel works very successfully like that. Yes.
How much input did you have in the writing of the songs?
Quite a bit, because Brett and I have worked together for a long time. So generally what happens is that when I write a script, I write an idea of where songs are going to go. And always I usually write more songs we're going to end up with. I always write like 10 or 12 ideas in, and then we cut them down to 6 or 7. But usually it's because at this juncture of the story, it feels like a song would be funny, or there's a good idea for a song that goes here. So normally in the script I'd write, you know, the title of the song, hopefully a funny title if I have a good idea, or not. And then a brief like paragraph description of what the song is about, and what it's going to do in the story. And then Brett just has that paragraph to work from, and goes away, and then comes back in about 2 months with an incredible song that I usually like. And then I then say to him, well, how about this? And it's a lot of back and forth about the visual of it, the storytelling of it, and the musicality of it in one kind of go. So a fair amount, but in the writing of the music, I have nothing to do with that at all. That's purely Brett's genius for melody. That's not me at all. Occasionally I help out the lyrics, but generally it's just, that's also Brett. So, you know, I have often had the initial idea, he then just does everything else, and I just say, great, at the end. Yes?
Were there any scenes that had to be cut for time that you particularly wish you hadn't had to go?
That's a funny question. Yeah, well, there's going to be a fair amount, because on the DVD, I remember them saying the other day, there's something like 15 minutes of extra material. But rather than any one scene, I think it's generally just extra longer versions of the scenes that already exist, I think. I can't think off the top of my head anything I think I'd gravely miss, and that's probably a good thing, to be honest. There's a funny thing that when you see Constantine has this kind of, I'm obviously very aware of the idea of guns in the Muppet movie, and so when Constantine has a gun, it's a flintlock musket, right? It's an old kind of pistol. And there's this whole thing whereby he shoots it once and it goes, and then he goes, oh, it's a muzzle loader, and he has to get a barrel and a wadding and push it back in. And I thought that was a really funny idea. He has this ancient pistol. But that was cut. But that joke, I always really liked that joke. He had a muzzle loading old pistol that he stole off the wall of the Tower of London, and it didn't really work very well. I thought it was a funny joke. But that was pretty funny. And then, other than that, not really, because, I mean, there's another verse, actually. On the CD, you'll hear another verse of the Constantine I Can Give You What You Want song, where he lists a whole lot of other stuff he would give her. Also funny. That was good. Yeah. But other than that, it's just minor little bits and pieces here and there, I think. Really. Yes?
What's the time frame from when you started writing to...
That's a good question, because this one is pretty fast, because I was writing ideas for this in February of, 2012, when I was doing press for this in England, for the last movie. So I never really got out of the Muppets world. I was just talking about the last movie and writing the next one already. So we started, I guess, writing it in the spring of 2012, when we were writing throughout the summer, and then by the autumn we were prepping and getting ready to shoot, and we're shooting by December. No, we're shooting in January. So we started in December, filming in January, through the spring, and then came back, cut through the whole summer, and I guess, oh yeah, 2014, sorry. We finished by November last year, so it was pretty fast for a movie. Generally these things take a little bit longer, but we were very clear about what we wanted to do, and we were already in the mode of making the movie, so it's just like roll back into the next one kind of thing. So. It took, I mean, overall it's going to be whatever that is now, 18 months, 2 years, from the beginning of the idea to the release. And that's fairly standard, but the actual process of making it for us is pretty fast, which is good. Yes?
The first movie was kind of like a comeback movie for the Muppets. What are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, I think the first movie I loved, but it was kind of like we were in a situation where we couldn't deal with the Muppets until kind of halfway through, because they have to get back together again just by the nature of the movie. This time we have them all the Muppets from the very beginning, so it's kind of slightly more Muppets focused, I guess, which I really like about it. So for me it feels like this one can really show you what the Muppets do, like what they do in a movie, what the roles they can play, how they can interact with each other, not only just being brilliant on stage and doing acts and funny things in the show, but also outside of that, just being, you know, in any kind of movie genre situation, they're going to be interesting and funny. And I think that's it's a good showcase for the Muppets and what they can do. And I hope that means that in the future there will be many more, because I think this sets it up so nicely that they can do any sort of any genre. And it's, you know, and as I said, it's the last form of this kind of entertainment. So I really hope that they keep going.
We have time for one last question.
Yes, sure, why not?
Have you started on the next Muppet?
No, too tired, sorry. I'll be going another year's time, but no, sadly not. But maybe, I mean, who knows? I love working with these guys. Yeah, as you know, they're my heroes, so I really loved it. So I don't know what capacity it would be, I don't know, but I would love to do more, because it's just really fun. I mean, I'm incredibly lucky to have this job. It's like my dream, so I'm so pleased.